This is Lynn Suzek. Thanks for joining us today on His Ability. We're here with my husband, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
We're excited to talk to you today. We're having our Valentine's Day weekend special today. We're going to talk about love. And Mark and I, we're just enjoying our relationship, our marriage, and being that we have sort of a special situation with my being in a wheelchair. And I know that there's a lot of people that do deal with handicaps, disabilities in a relationship, and there's a lot of dynamics there that can be difficult. But you know, sometimes those are the best relationships, because they both parties have to learn to overlook so much and just value the other person for much more than the average couple might do. Our relationship started about 4 years ago, and you can hear about how we met on hisability.com. We have archived programs. I think the title is Dating a Quadriplegic. That's an interesting story, but we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what's the glue that's holding our relationship together, and how we enjoy each other by enjoying God. And Mark is going to do most of the talking here, because he's the most in love person I know with God. And he's, you know, I learn from him all the time. My relationship has been long term with the Lord, 30 years or more. And I've gone through a lot of ups and downs with my relationship with the Lord. And his being kind of on the newer side just is fresh and exciting. And we just actually talk about what God's talking to us about, and that is where we have most of our conversation. So I think we were gonna start off with where Adam and Eve, how it was, what life was like with Adam and Eve before sin. Is that what we want to say?
Well, the first thing that we have to note is that Adam and Eve did not spend time in intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. They did not spend time fighting off demons. They weren't praying for where their next meal would come from. They weren't praying for clothing. They weren't doing many of the things that we consider
prayer life.
Prayer life, mm-hmm. Time with God. So what were they doing? What were they talking about with God? And one of the things that I would imagine in my mind is that, you know, when God met with them in the cool of the evening, Adam and Eve would be like, God, I just saw the most awesome tree that you made, and I just wanted to point it out that I saw it. It's just so cool. And this animal that I saw today, or whatever.
Everything was a gift for them.
Everything was a gift. And their time with God was much deeper than asking for stuff, because from what I'm getting out of the scripture, they didn't have to ask for anything. It was all provided to them.
There were no problems. There were no conflicts. And life was perfect. So what did they talk? What did they talk to God about?
They spent time loving God,
enjoying Him,
right, and listening to Him. God probably told them about the stars and what their meanings were. He told them about things that they were going to see in the future. You know, distant lands that they might travel to. Who knows what they were talking about? But I know that they weren't doing many of the things that we do today.
Right. So our relationship with God and enjoying Him should be more along those lines than it probably is for most of us. But you and I do tend to just yearn and long for God to speak to us. And what most of the problem is getting things out of our way, distractions and...
Right. I believe God is speaking to us all the time. Like a radio transmitter, like the very transmitter that you folks are listening to right now. It's constantly transmitting. Do you have your reception tuned in to this station?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like how it is with God. He's constantly speaking to us, whether it's through His creation or through His voice speaking to our heart. It's, are we tuned into Him? Are we distracted? Is there something on our mind? Is there something in the way? And sin, obviously, is a big part of that. I don't think that if we sin that God no longer listens to us or speaks to us. I think what happens is we, since we realize that that we have sinned and come short again, we've screwed up again, we feel this little separation between us and God. But it's not on God's part, it's on our part. Mm-hmm. I think God is still holding His hand out saying, I love you so much, Don't worry about that. You're going to get better. You're working on it. You're trying harder. He's like the adult trying to help a child learn how to ride a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Just because you fall and scrape your knee, you know, he's there to pick you up and to help you along, and he just wants to keep encouraging you and telling you how much he loves you.
And all these things that he has for us, not only in creation to enjoy, and he gives us opportunities to speak to him all day long, and he's talking to us. I think that one of the most exciting things that we find out every day is, you know, when God talks to us and when we realize he's talking to us, hey, God told me this today, or I had a dream, and I believe it, you know, might have been from God. And then you and I, you know, we just can't wait to talk to each other about what he told us. And so the more that we can get ourselves out of the way and find out, you know, that God is talking to us more than we realize, the more excited we get.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that comes across my mind is that you really can't love other people until you have the author of love in you.
That's true.
You can tolerate other people. People who are not saved, not born again, they tolerate each other, they work with each other, but do they really love each other deeply, passionately, more than they love themselves? I don't believe that's possible unless you have a relationship with the author of love.
Right. It's, that's similar. I just mentioned that movie Fireproof. That's what they talk about. The idea of not being able to love someone else truly without having that relationship with God and having that love placed in you. You don't know how.
Right. Love is not a feeling.
Right.
Love is a decision. It's a choice. Our feelings misguide us and mislead us all the time. But love, true love, overlooks what I'm feeling.
And it's not something that we can manufacture. It's something that God puts in us. So trying to do what 1 Corinthians 13 says isn't how we can't manufacture that. We just have to keep asking for more of God's Spirit to be overflowing in us.
Yes, as the Apostle Paul said, may the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to just how much God has given to you and placed in you. If you're born again, you have a brand new spirit. One third of you, your spirit, body, and soul. Your spirit's been replaced, renewed by God's Spirit, by Jesus Christ's Spirit. So one third of you is in agreement with God at all times. It's the other two thirds that you have to kind of whip into shape. Your mind, your thinking, that's the soulish realm, and then your body. What's going on with your body? And those of you who are struggling with a disability of some sort, you need to get the two parts of you in agreement to fight off the third part. You need your spirit and your soul to be in agreement. And you can start taking control of what's going on in your body. And I think that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples.
And in most of Paul's letters talk about how to be led by the Spirit. And what I believe I'm learning that means is that we have a choice. As soon as we're born again, we now have a choice of submitting to the Spirit that God gave us or submitting and continuing to submit to the flesh. And the more that we make the choice to submit to the Spirit in our decisions and the way that we react, the more the Spirit can overflow into the rest of us.
Amen. One of the things about God's kind of love in you, when you say in prayer, Lord, I really want to understand how much you love me, he's going to start leading you to scriptures that talk about his kind of love towards you. And once you get that revelation, you start to see creation in a completely different light. On our way to the studio this morning, I was talking to you about the trees. Even though right now the trees have no leaves on them, when I see the trees, the grandeur that is designed into them, how they're so complicated, and every little branch, every little split, every little separation from twig to twig, yet they're all uniform and kind of pointing towards heaven, you know, as though they're going, oh, you know, praising God. And
trees of the field are clapping their hands.
That's right. And one of the That's kind of how I'm starting to understand God's kind of love for us. I'm looking at creation with a whole new set of eyes. Not that this is just something that formed over millions of years, like the evolutionists tell us, but this is something that God made for his glory and for us to enjoy.
Right.
And so when you look around at the fields and water and streams, and it's just amazing. God is amazing.
And the birds. I mean, everything that we look at is a gift to us personally and an opportunity for us to go, wow, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, when you see a hummingbird for the first time, and it's just so amazing. And instead of just being in awe over it, it's an opportunity to talk to the Lord and tell him how awesome you think it is, what he made.
Yeah. And I was having a cup of coffee this morning, and I was looking out the back window, and I'm not a bird connoisseur. I mean, I don't know every kind of bird, but I believe what I saw landed on our wood fence in the backyard was a woodpecker. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little striped white and black bird. And I was just, you know, God, that is just so cool that you made that bird so different from the other birds and all the things that that little bird does, you know, with poking holes
certainly
into wood.
He has a sense of humor in his creation.
He's just awesome. God is just so awesome. Everything he does, he's like the ultimate artist. On my way to work, before we moved into the winter months where time changed, I was able to see the sunrise on my way to work. And man, some of the colors and when it hits the clouds and just, God is just an amazing artist.
Amen.
Just incredible.
So the key I think that you've been kind of sharing with me, Mark, is to enjoy every minute of the day. Everything that just tickles your fancy, everything that you're able to enjoy is something to enjoy with the Lord. And and to recognize that he's talking to you even through creation, through every minute of the day he's trying to speak to you. So I think even though I've continued my relationship with the Lord for 30 years, I've gone through some stages. Just like a marriage, you can go through kind of fall out of love with your mate for a while, and you need to restore that and go out dating again.
Yeah, rekindle the flame.
Right. Yeah. And I think that if nothing else, that's what we want to encourage you to do, is rekindle your flame with the Lord if you've had a relationship for a while. And are you enjoying God? And I know that he's wanting to enjoy you.
By the way, I wanted to tell you how much I love you, and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
You have made my life just so much better.
Oh, love you. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we're you can hear our programs again on His Ability, and I just thank God for my hubby here and all the enjoyment that we've had over the past 4 years, and our children. Thank God. Amen. See you next week.